What on earth is that? That's not worship. That's not how you praise Yahshua. You praise Yahshua with every fiber of your body. The Yahshuan Radio Network is giving you the best sermons on the internet, the best teachers on the internet, and we are breaking some stained glass windows.
Welcome to Havara. We're going to be going over 1 Peter 1 and 2 today. We'll start out with 1 Peter 1, verse 1. From Kepha, an emissary of Yeshua the Messiah, to God's chosen people, living as aliens in the diaspora, in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, the province of Asia, and Bithynia. Chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and set apart by the Spirit, for obeying Yeshua the Messiah, and for sprinkling with his blood. Grace and shalom be yours in full measure. Note to whom this first portion says this letter is addressed. It's Israel. Dispersed Israel, to be exact. It is important to note that we have two letters from Kepha, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I can hear the groans already. Duh. But before you take this lightly, understand this. 1 Peter is written to post-resurrection Israel specifically, whereas 2 Peter is addressed to, and I quote 2 Peter 1:1, those who through the righteousness of our God and our deliverer Yeshua the Messiah have been given the same kind of trust as ours. Sounds like the Gentiles to me. Note he says the same kind. What is that same kind? We all know what trust Israel was allotted. That's Torah and being a light unto the nations. And here Kepha is saying those who have been given the same. Continuing on to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God, Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who in keeping with his great mercy has caused us, that's Israel, through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah from the dead, to be born again to a living hope, to an inheritance that cannot decay, spoil, fade, or and being kept safe for you in heaven. Meanwhile, through trusting, you are being protected by Yehovah's power for a deliverance ready to be revealed at the last time. Rejoice in this, even though for a little while you may have to experience grief in various trials. Even gold is tested for genuineness by fire. The purpose of these trials is so that your trust genuineness, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor at the revealing of Yeshua Messiah. Without having seen him, you love him. Without seeing him now, but trusting in him, you continue to be full of joy that is glorious beyond words. Without having seen him, he says. How could that be? Well, we have to refer to the first passage to understand. He is addressing the diaspora, those who weren't in Jerusalem and surrounding areas when Yeshua walked the streets, and Kepha is in effect introducing Yeshua to those Israelites that didn't have the opportunity to meet him face to face. And Kepha reiterates the trust factor noted in Hebrews 11, chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 1. Trusting is being confident of what we hoped for, convinced about things we do not see. It was for this that Scripture attested the merit of the people of old. By trusting, we understand that the universe was created through a spoken word of Yahweh, so that what is seen did not come into being out of existing phenomena. 1 Peter 1:9, continuing on. And you are receiving what your trust is aimed at, namely, your deliverance. The prophets who prophesied about this gift of deliverance that was meant for you, pondered, you Israel, pondered and inquired diligently about it. They were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the spirit of the Messiah in them was referring and predicting the Messiah's sufferings and the glorious things to follow. It was revealed to them that their service, when they spoke about these things, was not for their own benefit, but for yours, Israel. And these same things have now been proclaimed to you by those who communicated the good news to you through the Ruach HaKodesh sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Verse 13. Therefore, get your minds ready for work, keep yourselves under control, and fix your hopes fully on the gift you will receive when Yeshua the Messiah is revealed. As people who obey God, do not let yourselves be shaped by the evil desires you used to have when you were still ignorant. On the contrary, following the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in your entire way of life, since the Tanakh says, you are to be holy because I am holy. Here Peter is referring to several scriptures in Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 44. For I am Yahweh your God, therefore consecrate yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to the entire community of Israel. Tell them, you people are to be holy because I, Yahweh your God, am holy. And chapter 20. Verse 7 of Leviticus. Therefore consecrate yourselves. You people must be holy because I am Yahweh your God. Observe my regulations and obey them. I am Yahweh who set you apart to be holy. Verse 17 of 1 Peter 1. Also, if I find that if to be interesting. If you are addressing as Father, the one who judges impartially, according to each person's actions, you should live out your temporary stay on earth in fear. You should be aware that the ransom paid to free you from the worthless way of life which your fathers passed on to you did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold. On the contrary, it was the costly, bloody, sacrificial death of the Messiah, as of a lamb without defect or spot. Yahweh knew him before the founding of the universe, but revealed him in the Akarit Hayamim, or the last days, for your sakes. Through him you trust in Yahweh, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, I'm going to read that again. Verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love each other deeply with all your heart. You have been born again, not from some seed that will decay, but from the one that cannot decay, through the living word of God that lasts forever. And here he's referring, Verse 24, for all humanity is like grass. All its glory is like a wildflower. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of Yahweh lasts forever. Moreover, this word is the good news which has been proclaimed to you. Again, he's referencing another prophetic scripture found in Isaiah 40, verse 6. A voice says, proclaim. And I answer, what should I proclaim? All humanity is merely grass, all its kindness like wildflowers. The grass dries up, the flower fades when a wind from Yahweh blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass dries up, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Is that till next week? Is that till Yeshua was put on the stake? No, it's forever. Continuing on to chapter 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and of all the ways that there are of speaking against people, and be like newborn babies, thirsty for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up into deliverance. For you have tasted that Yehovah is good. Here he's referring to Psalm 34:7. Taste and see that Yehovah is good. How blessed are those who take refuge in him. Fear Yehovah, you holy ones of his, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions can be needy, they can go hungry, but those who seek Yehovah lack nothing good. 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by people but chosen by God and precious to him, you yourselves as living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be Kohanim, set apart for God, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to him through Yeshua the Messiah. This is why the Tanakh says, look, I am laying in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and whoever rests his trust on it will certainly not be humiliated. Here he's referring to Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, here is what Yehovah Elohim says. Look, I am laying in Zion a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, a firm foundation stone. He who trusts will not rush here and there. There's an interesting concept. He who trusts will not rush here and there. Continuing verse 7 of chapter 2. Now to you who keep trusting, keep trusting, he is precious, but to those who are not trusting, the very stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And here he is referring to Psalm 118, verse 19. Open the gates of righteousness for me. I will enter them and thank Yah. This is the gate of Yehovah. The righteous can enter it. Wow, there's the definition of Yeshua being the gate right there. I am thanking you because you answered me. You became my salvation. The very rock that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This has come from Yehovah, and in our eyes it is amazing. This is the day that Yehovah has made, a day for us to rejoice and be glad. Please, Yehovah, save us. Please, Yehovah, rescue us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yehovah. We bless you from the house of Yehovah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, continuing on, also, he is a stone that will make people stumble, a rock over which they will trip. Here he's referring to Isaiah 8:11. For this is what Yehovah said to me, speaking with a strong hand, warning me not to live the way this people does. Don't regard as alliance what this people calls alliance, and don't fear what they fear or be awestruck by it. But Yehovah saw of a oath, consecrate him. Let him be the object of your fear and awe. He is there to be a sanctuary. But for both the houses of Israel, he will be a stone to stumble over, a rock obstructing their way, a trap and a snare for the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Many of them will stumble and fall and be broken and trapped and captured. They are stumbling at the word, disobeying it, as it had been planned. Verse 8, verse 9, but you are a chosen people. And there's tons of scriptural references there. Isaiah 43:20, Deuteronomy 7:6, and Deuteronomy 10:15. We'll start with Isaiah 43. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I put water in the desert, rivers in the wasteland, for my chosen people to drink. Deuteronomy chapter 7. For you are a people set apart as holy for Yehovah your God. Yehovah your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his own unique treasure. Deuteronomy 10. Only Yehovah took enough pleasure in your ancestors to love them and choose their descendants after them, yourselves, above all peoples, as he still does today. And Peter tells us we're to be the king's Kohanim, Exodus 19:5. Now if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you will be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel. And those words were spoken to Moshe from Yehovah. And Isaiah 61:4, again another prophetic scripture he's referring to there. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore sites long destroyed, and they will renew the ruined cities destroyed many generations ago. Strangers will stand and feed your flocks, foreigners plow your land and tend your vines, but you will be called Kohanim of Yehovah, spoken of as ministers to our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and revel in their riches. Because of your shame, which was doubled, and because they cried, they deserve disgrace. Therefore in their land what they own will be doubled, and joy forever will be theirs. For I, Yehovah, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. So I will be faithful to reward them and make an eternal covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the seed Yehovah has blessed. And he continues on, calling Israel a holy nation, a people for God to possess. He's referring to Isaiah 43, the people I formed for myself, so that they would proclaim my praise. Exodus 19. Now if you will be careful to pay attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And 1 Peter 2:9. We all love this scripture. Why? In order for you to declare the praises of the one who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Before you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We find this in Hosea 2:20. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know Yehovah. When that day comes, I will answer, says Yehovah. I will answer the sky, and it will answer the earth. The earth will answer the corn, wine, and oil, and they will answer Yisrael. God will sow. I will sow her for me in the land. I will have pity on Lo Rukamah, which means unpitied. I will say to Lo am I, not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. Continuing on to verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and temporary residents. Here we go again with another key phrase out of the Tanakh. Genesis 23:2. Sarai died in Kiryat Arba, also known as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn Sarah and weep for her. Then he got up from his dead one and said to the sons of Het, I am a foreigner living as an alien with you. Let me have a burial site with you so that I can bury my dead wife. He's also referring to Genesis 47:4. We have come to live in the land because in the land of Canaan there is no place to pasture your servants' flocks. This famine is so severe there. Therefore, please, let your servants live in the land of Goshen. In Leviticus 25:23, the land is not to be sold in perpetuity because the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. And this is a line out of 1 Peter 2:10. Not to give in to the desires of your old nature which keep warring against you. Those are some words you need to tuck in your heart and live by. Continuing to verse 12. But to live such good lives among the pagans, and that's where we're at, that even though they now speak against you as evildoers, they will, as a result of seeing your good actions, give glory to God on the day of his coming. For the sake of the Lord, submit yourselves to every human authority, whether to the emperor as being supreme, or to governors as being sent by him to punish wrongdoers and praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that your doing good should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Submit as people who are free, but not letting your freedom serve as an excuse for evil. Rather, submit as Yehovah's slaves. Be respectful to all. Keep loving the brotherhood, fearing God, and honoring the emperor. Household servants, submit yourselves to your masters, showing them full respect, and not only those who are kind and considerate, but those who are harsh. For it is a grace when someone, because he is mindful of God, bears up under the pain of undeserved punishment. For what credit is there in bearing up under a beating you deserve for doing something wrong? But if you bear up under punishment, even though you have done what is right, God looks on it with favor. Indeed, this is what you were called to, because the Messiah too suffered on your behalf, leaving an example so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found on his lips. And he's quoting Isaiah 53:9. He was given a grave among the wicked. In his death he was with a rich man, although he had done no violence, and he had said nothing deceptive. Verse 23. When he was insulted, he didn't retaliate with insults. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but handed them over to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the stake. He's referring to Deuteronomy 21:22. If someone has committed a capital crime and is put to death, then hung on a tree, his body is not to remain all night on the tree, but you must bury him the same day, because a person who has been hanged has been cursed by God, so that you will not defile your land, which Jehovah your God is giving you to inherit. Continuing on to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you used to be like sheep gone astray, but now you have turned to the shepherd who watches over you. And there's multiple references here in the last few verses of 1 Peter chapter 2 that all go back to Isaiah 53. So we're going to start at verse 4 and run through 12. In fact, it was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered, yet we regarded him as punished, stricken, and afflicted by God, which is what we just saw in Deuteronomy 21. But he was wounded because of our crimes, crushed because of our sins. The disciplining that makes us whole fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed. We all, like sheep, went astray. We turned each one to his own way. Yet Jehovah laid on him the guilt of all of us. Though mistreated, he was submissive. He did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to be slaughtered, like a sheep silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. After forcible arrest and sentencing, he was taken away, and none of his generation protested his being cut off from the land of the living for the crimes of my people, who deserved the punishment themselves. He was given a grave among the wicked. In his death, he was with a rich man, although he had done no violence and had said nothing deceptive. Yet it pleased Jehovah to crush him with illness, to see if he would present himself as a guilt offering. If he does, he will see his offspring, and he will prolong his days. And at his hand, Jehovah's desire will be accomplished. After this ordeal, he will see satisfaction. By his knowing pain and sacrifice, my righteous servant makes many righteous. It is for their sins that he suffers. Therefore, I will assign him a share with the great. He will divide the spoil with the mighty, for having exposed himself to death and being counted among the sinners, while actually bearing the sin of many and interceding for the offenders. From just the first two chapters of 1 Peter, it's plainly visible that Israel and her sins of idolatry under every green tree have been forgiven due to Yeshua's ultimate sacrifice on the tree. The concept that Yeshua died for me is something that just crawls under my skin, and it is repeated over and over and over again in almost all religious circles. Once one takes into account the whole word, the whole scripture, and all the prophecies, it becomes clearly visible that the Messiah of Israel is just that, the Messiah of Israel. It was the actions under every green tree that facilitated the need for the ultimate sacrifice in the first place. There's myriad scriptures that refer to that concept. Jeremiah 2:20. For long ago I broke your yoke when I snapped your chains. You said, I won't sin. Yet on every high hill and under every green tree, you sprawled and prostituted yourself. Jeremiah 3:6. In the days of Yoshiyahu the king, ye have I asked me, have you seen the things that backsliding Israel has been doing? She goes up on every bare hill and under every green tree and prostitutes herself there. Jeremiah 3:13. Only acknowledge your guilt, that you have committed crimes against Yehovah your God, that you were promiscuous with strangers under every green tree, and that you have not paid attention to my voice, says Yehovah. Ezekiel 6:13. You will know that I am Yehovah when their slain men are lying among their idols around their altars on every high hill, on every mountaintop, and under every green tree, under every thick pistachio tree, wherever they offered sweet-smelling sacrifices to appease their idols. How, then, did things get twisted to, he died for me? The answer? Lack of information. Hosea 12:10. I have spoken to the prophets. It was I who gave vision after vision. Through the prophets, I gave examples to show what it would all be like. However, precious few take the time to read Yehovah's word and establish the truth of salvation and what it takes to obtain life. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for want of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will also reject you as Kohen for me. Because you forgot the Torah of your God, I will also forget your children. It would do us well to remember the words of the Shema once again, so that when Yeshua returns in all his glory, he can say, excellent, you are a good and trustworthy servant. You have been faithful with a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness. Matthew 25:21. Shema Israel, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Echad. Hear, Israel, Yehovah our God, Yehovah is one. You are to love Yehovah your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources. These words, which I am ordering you today, are to be on your heart. Teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you are traveling on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. Put them at the front of a headband around your forehead and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Ivareka Yehovah v'rishmereka. Yer Yehovah panafaleka v'kuneka. Yisa Yehovah panafaleka v'yasem leka shalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine on you and show you his favor. May Yehovah lift up his face toward you and give you peace.
This ain't proselytizing, this is the truth. But if you open up the Bible, you're gonna find out who the God is for the Jew and the Gentile. Oh, yes. And you know something? He's gonna reveal his truth to you if you really want it. He's gonna tell you about the King of the Jews. Echad, Stam, Shalosh, come on. I woke up this morning in Jerusalem. What did I see? All of God's people. Some claim they know him, some claim they've seen him, some think they be him, but I know the truth, 'cause I read God's book. Muslims wanna fight us, rabbis they confuse us, Christians wanna save us. Tell me who's my savior. They say Yeshua, Isaiah 53, oh. Some praying to a wall, some see God.